Hi guys, we're starting the radio show. I hope you tune in. It's gonna be good. And well, Bobby wants to say hello, like usual.
He always gives me the thing to say hello. Okay, Bobby says hello. It's gonna be a great show. We're gonna talk about stigmas. And back to Amy.
Actually, from two different perspectives, two different generations. One is my generation, Generation X, and the other one's a millennial. We love testimonials. And so we will get theirs. How nice.
Exciting. They say.
It's Florida. It's Miami. God is good. God is really good. I have to tell you.
We're waiting for some people to turn.
I can see you staring, honey. Like he's just your understudy. Like he'd get your knuckles bloody for me. Second, third, and hundredth chances, balancing on breaking branches. Those eyes add insult to injury. I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending. I'm not your problem anymore. So who am I offending now? You are my crown. Now I'm in exile, seeing you out. I think I've seen this film before.
So there.
I'm leaving out the side door.
So step right out.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my amazing partner, Boris.
Hi, everybody.
Our show is available live on your radio, also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, on our website, godisthecure.com, as well as on social media, and just recently discovered, the show is also being viewed and listened to all over the world. We are broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available in 35 stations among 11 states, and soon after the show, on any podcast player, as well as next Sunday on Sirius XM Channel 131, the Family Talk Channel. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God, who enables us to help each other. We provide testimonials to let people know that we are not alone, as well as experts and inspirational speakers who can help. In this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse, well into young adulthood. I do believe we all suffer somehow, but with the help of God, we can be a source of healing for each other. For me, God was the only cure, but there are also other forms of healing that are presented to service everyone. Life is challenging, but there's always hope when someone cares. At least God does. Sorry guys, just bear with us. I have the wrong script. You know, my producer, I couldn't hear anything in the beginning, and then when I could hear something, it was super loud, and now it's the wrong script. Thank you God for my patience.
Well, that's because we dropped the computer and the mouse.
Because it was super loud in my ears. Okay, let's try this again. Okay.
Where are you?
Okay, the song we played earlier was Exile by Taylor Swift and Bon Iver. There's an exodus happening these days around us, coincidentally. I just thought that was interesting. Can we see the dark side staring? It's like an obsession. We are giving hundreds of chances in between balancing branches. We have been here before. It doesn't take us anywhere. Just adding injury, and it's not fair. Until we're no longer a problem anymore, once we step out of our comfort zone and trust God to rule our life by placing the crown where it belongs, on Jesus Christ. there's enough sadness to go around. Yet there is nothing God wouldn't do for us. We are his children, chosen, the lost and the found. Today, we want to discuss stigmas as a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance, quality, or person, and especially through different perspectives from two generations. And our guests are a mother and a daughter, Isabel and Isabella Roland. Isabel Roland is the CFO of MIG Foods, and Isabella is a college student at FAU. Isabel and Isabella, welcome to The Cure. You're now live.
Okay, so which one do I put first?
Isabella, stigmas can really affect people's lives. Let's try to discuss some of them. Do you have the audio? Can we hear them?
We have only Isabel.
Okay, so we can start with Isabel. Isabel, stigmas can really affect people's lives. So let's try to discuss them. Do you have any friends with mental illness? Because I read somewhere that mental illness is as common as brown eyes.
Yes. Can you hear me?
A little bit. I need it a little bit louder.
It's not you.
Oh, it's not.
Can you speak up?
Or maybe you can speak up.
Betan, can you raise it?
Perfect. Can you hear me better?
Yes. Now it's better, yes.
Okay. All right, perfect. Yes, actually, that is a subject that is extremely, I'm very passionate about, is mental illness. I can give you a very personal example when it comes to my family. We have many nieces and nephews, there's 15 of them. And when we're talking about, for example, one of my nephews and nieces had a physical problem, had to be rushed to a hospital, was in the hospital for about 3 months. There were prayer groups and huge prayer groups and chains all over the world praying for this child. And he pulled through. I mean, he's doing great. But at the same time, you know, I have another family member who had a mental illness issue, very, very depressed throughout childhood. And I see how that was almost, we were praying almost in secret for her, because for some reason, the fact that she was in the hospital for a week here and a week there throughout her young adult life, it was a huge stigma of mental illness that you know, for some reason there was something wrong with it, where it's exactly the same as having diabetes or having you know, something happen in you know, a stroke or anything like that. And so I see those two examples, and you know, coming from somebody who's very passionate about it, and still, you know, I felt compelled to not share because of, you know, what other people might think.
Because of the stigma.
Mental health is not an issue. Yes, it's
right.
A stigma.
And I mean, people get the idea that people with mental illness are either dangerous or children of a lesser God or broken or even faking it. But the consequences are self-doubt. They feel they have less opportunity, lack of understanding from loved ones and friends, uneducated misconceptions. They fear you because you have mental illness, and they're often harassed, and they're reluctant to seek treatment. Why? Because there's no hope. And I'll share a personal story with you guys and my listeners. When I was 15, the psychiatrist that evaluated me said, in his own medical terms, that there was no hope for me. I never wanted to believe that. If only that psychiatrist can see me now. Being a radio show host greatly disproves that stigma, that if you have gone through a lot, you're less likely to make it. For those who are afraid of me because they don't know any different.
Well, sometimes I'm a little bit scared, but not really. just
joking. Okay, then this applies to you.
Okay.
For those who are afraid of me because they don't know any different, well, they get to know me now. what you see is what you get.
Through that.
So I see where
I have Isabella back.
Isabella.
Yeah.
Let me get your take. What is your viewpoint when it comes to somebody suffering from mental illness? Is it something that people are afraid of, or people find it difficult to understand in your age group?
I think yes, absolutely. That's something that you see every day now, especially with the ability to see it now, and with, I think, social media, a lot of it's affected it heavily, in good ways and bad ways. But I think that among my community, specifically in my college life, you see every day posters and flyers and in syllabuses, syllabi, you see at the end of it, and every one you see is resources for psychological assistance and help.
So it's easier to seek
people
help.
People you can talk to, people you can go to, because it's such a big factor in everyday life now. I mean, I think it's hard to find someone who doesn't have some kind of mental illness, whether that's ADHD, depression, anxiety, which is huge in 2020, especially.
Yes.
Eating disorders, too, I think, will also apply.
Oh, yes.
You need to use that song, F2020.
Yeah.
Is that allowed back down in the radio? I'm just checking.
Yes, no, I think...
Well, don't you know that afraid. Bad things could be blessings in disguise?
Yeah, they are.
And we will continue talking about stigmas when we return, guys.
Stay with us. We would love to hear from
you.
Call us to tell us what stigma you fought in your life. Call us 866-34-TRUTH. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
There you go.
She speaks very good, Isabella.
I'm the queen of broken hearts, break you in a thousand parts. Used
yes.
to be a shooting star. When did I become so dark?
Yeah. You need to chill, girl, don't blame me. I'm too far gone, you can't save me. And I don't care, you can hate me. I bought a pill and I'm faded. Take anything, make it about me. It's a heavy crown, it might drown me. I know it sucks being around me. So does don't at me, don't doubt me. I'm the queen of broken hearts, break you in a thousand parts. Used to be a shooting star. When did I become so dark? I'm the queen of broken hearts, break you in a thousand parts. Used to be a shooting star. When did I become so dark? I'm the queen of broken hearts, left you with a thousand scars. Used to be a shooting star. When did I become so dark?
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in, guys. Remember that you can listen on the radio show live through our app, The Cure, with Amy Cabell, or later as a podcast. The song that just played was I'm the Queen of Broken Hearts by Black Bear. Consider the innocence of a child. It shines like a shooting star, as they are most similar to Christ. Life can sometimes influence us and make us go astray. Acting the queen of broken hearts, it's the role we learn to play. We are too far gone, and some will blame us. We can't be saved. It's the lie that will betray us. Sometimes we must experience the pain and wonder how we became so dark, slowly fading. It was a heavy crown that can drown us. But it was never about us. There's a bigger picture that God, despite the noise, wants us to see. Trials and tribulations, is what leads us to who we need to be. We are talking about stigmas from the perspective of two different generations. So, Isabella, I was speaking to you last. What do you think about stigma people against that have been sick from COVID or just released after quarantine? How do we deal with that, Isabel? We seem to be looking weird at everybody that coughs now.
Yeah, you see somebody coughing and it's like, whoa.
Oh, we can't hear Isabella.
No, I can hear you. I can hear
Hold
you.
On 1 second.
Hold on, try it now.
Try again.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, good job. See, okay. Young people know stuff. That's another stigma.
I can't cough in public without looking around and trying to, like, say sorry for coughing. If I choke on water, if nothing, something goes down the wrong way, there's no chance. You got to hold it in. But with quarantine and things, I'd say it maybe split 75-25 with people my age. 25% of us being cautious and aware that there is a problem. The other 75% think it's not a very big deal. They don't treat it very seriously. So I wouldn't say there's a negative stigma.
So young people are more easygoing. Young people are more easygoing, more invisible, and more brave. That's great. How about you, Isabella?
In the worst way.
Oh, oops. Isabel. How about you, Isabel? Are you afraid to cough?
I was on a plane recently, and I made the mistake of eating some peanuts, and I proceeded to almost choke on them because I couldn't cough. I was afraid of what people around me were going to do. I thought I was going to die. So it's terrible. But I think at the beginning of COVID, the biggest stigma that I saw was that if you got COVID, you had done something wrong. You had gone to the wrong place. You didn't wear a mask. I think that's changed a little bit.
Or you didn't care, because, you know, or you're not responsible. Yes,
exactly.
That is a stigma, yeah. That you don't care or you're responsible. And, you know, it really can happen to anybody. I mean, there's some really new stigmas that have come about in this, coincidentally, elections. You know, like stigmas I didn't know about. Goodness gracious, I didn't know all white people were privileged. And I didn't know all Republicans were racist. In fact, I didn't even know color was an issue. Guys, please help me understand. Oh, Isabella, let's start with you.
Okay. Well, sure. I think that it's okay
to be white.
Okay to be white. I think it's also okay that as white Americans or white humans, Caucasians, we understand now. I think it's important that we understand now. I think it's okay if you didn't fully understand it or you weren't paying attention. I think this is the time where people are saying, you know, forget, maybe not forget. I'm trying to say this
The political way? Don't worry. Just say how you think.
Politically correct.
It's okay. Just say how you feel it.
Where it's okay to say that you were wrong before, to say that you didn't understand, but now you see and you're taking responsibility maybe for not recognizing the issues that were at hand.
Well, but suppose you're white, and you're not privileged, what responsibility am I supposed to take? I mean, supposing you're a Republican and you're not racist, what responsibility am I supposed to take? I mean, I can understand that I have to accept that other people think differently, but I don't see it that way. What do you think, Isabella?
Isabella?
Isabel. Isabel. Isabel, the big one. The mother.
Yes.
The older one.
Okay, well, this is what I think. I think it's a matter of empathy, because I think that white people, black people, every kind of person struggles through life.
Yes.
They go through sickness, they go through everything. And so it's very easy to be in your own world and not really see what's happening out there. In my opinion, when other people are saying, but wait a second, my I have this negative thing that happens to me when somebody stops me in the, you know, when I'm driving or whatever that you don't have. And so I have to empathize and stop and get out of my everyday problems and world and think, okay, let me put myself in that person's situation and see the world the way it is for them. And so I think it's a matter of empathy. Of yes, we all struggle. We all don't have jobs. But then there's a little extra thing that happens to certain people of color. And so I think it's a matter of empathy. I have four right. kids. You see Isabella right there. And she's blonde and tall, and my oldest daughter is much darker. And so I kind of have four kids, and I ran out of ink as I had them. So the oldest one is a lot darker than me and curly hair, and then the second one is kind of like me, and Isabella's blonde, and Christian is blonde and blue-eyed. So I always say I ran out of ink.
Yeah,
and
I so just want to say that
the
race...
The oldest one is not the same as Christian.
Right, and I just want to say that racism and privilege, guys, comes in every color. And it's your perception will become your reality. If I wanted to believe that my past makes me a victim, I will be a victim to everyone. I will see everyone as seeing me as a victim because that's not what my belief. But I never let my circumstances define my way of thinking or judge others. I just wanted to add that. Because you can be sympathetic and empathetic, but at the same time, realistic.
Well, we're going to go into a break, so.
And we're going to go right about into a break, because next I want to talk about pregnancies, young pregnancies.
Yeah.
The stigmas with that.
There's stigmas for that, too?
There's stigmas.
There's so many stigmas.
Oh, and gays. We haven't talked about that.
Okay.
Next, guys. Hang on. Hang with us.
Okay, so we would love to hear from you. Tell us about your stigma. 1-866-34-TRUTH. Or stigma that you overcame. 1-866-34-TRUTH. Stay with us.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, and the courage to keep moving forward with the help of God. I want people to know that there's hope. I was forced into my abortion because I didn't think I had a choice. I want people to know there's choices.
Well, Amy, my heart is breaking. I just want you to know that I love you and I thank God for you.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Every Saturday at 1 Eastern on the Truth Network.
It's like moon ahead right now. I wish that I could say.
Yeah, I guess I'm a disappointment. Doing everything I can, I don't wanna make you disappointed. It's annoying. I just wanna make you feel like everything I ever do is never trying to make an issue for you. But I guess the more you thought about everything, you were never even wrong in the first place, right? Yeah, I'ma just ignore you, walking towards you. With my head down, looking at the ground, I'm embarrassed for you. Paranoia, what did I do wrong this time? That's parents for you. Very loyal, should I have my back? Would you put a knife in my hands before? What else should I carry for you? I care for you, but
I'm on the edge right now. Wish that I could say I'm proud. I'm sorry that I let you down.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back and thanks for listening in. Our shows are also available as a video podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo. The song that just played was Let You Down by NF. Some of us feel on the edge, as if we let others down, the ones that are never wrong, that keep us believing we were never strong. When everything we do is disappointing, the voices get louder, it gets annoying, and it's difficult to shut them out. So who is it that let us down, made an issue of most everything, and had us play the clown? Little did he consider that God's always around, and the enemy can never prevail once God stands his ground. We are discussing stigmas from two generations' perspective. So Isabel or Isabella, maybe Isabella might know. How about gay people? I mean, I asked a gay friend of mine, what stigmas do they deal with? I don't know. I'm not gay, so I wouldn't know. And to my surprise, he said even his own family members thought that he might be a pedophile.
Wow.
So that's a stigma that I wanted to make people aware of, that I didn't know that, that people think that gay people are sick in the mind and they're pedophiles, and that's not true. I have a very good friend who's very normal, more normal than you would think.
Sure. That not one that I regularly hear. However, now that you mentioned that, I feel like I did hear that recently, and I think that comes from, and I don't know this to be fact, but I think it might come from the priest on congregation, young members of the congregation relations, and how usually they were boys.
Oh, because
That's not what. That's not something that I myself or any of my friends really would
think.
About one of another friend who's gay. I think, especially now, I thank God have grown up in a time that. Now again, I'm not gay, so I didn't.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
The same thing. Today,
okay. Okay. How about something you guys can relate to much easier? Pregnancy, right, guys? Pregnancy. A lot of young girls look differently on that. I mean, just people still believe that you're destined for failure and the only option is abortion if you're young and pregnant. Isabel?
Yes, I'm actually, I feel very passionate.
Being that you have a young daughter?
Because, I have three and then a son. And so the message, I think, is on one hand, is life is beautiful. We need to protect it. Abortion is wrong. And so that's a very, very powerful message. But at the same time, if I have a child that gets pregnant, unwed and young, there's some kind of failure that happened there. And there's this stigma that that person has ruined their life, that it's embarrassing. How could you become pregnant? How did you have unwed sex? And how were you not careful? And now you can't go to school. And so where did that life is precious message, are they not receiving that, these young children? Yes, of course, I wouldn't want my kids to have unwed pregnancies. I would like them to be prepared for life with a college degree or somehow where they can, make a living. And so it's an incredible challenge, but personally for me, I would help them. I would absolutely want them to keep the baby, and I would absolutely help them. But I think society as a whole, the stigma is they ruined their lives.
Yes.
And so then the whole message of this life is precious kind of goes away.
Yeah.
And so, that's.
I mean, if only people knew, because my unwed pregnancy was actually my saving grace. If I ever did anything right or correct, it was for the sake of my daughter. The love of a mother makes you mature. It makes you grow up. There's many good things. It's all the way that you look at it. Really, guys, there's always other options. Please believe. Guys, can
Amy, I
yes.
have a question. Did you have support from your family? Was that a decision that you made yourself?
About my pregnancy
to keep your baby? Yes.
Mm-hmm. My pregnancy. Well, I kept my baby because I left the abusive father. He had already terminated one of my pregnancies when he was being physically abusive. But I've always never believed in abortion, so I had a little bit of support in the fact that I was able to deliver the child. But other than that, No, I didn't have much support. I was pretty much on my own until I was 27 years old. My family was afraid to know me. I had been through too much, even the sisters who didn't speak to my mother. So, you know, I basically grew up on my own, and God and the Virgin Mary were the best parents ever. So, wow, no love lost.
That's wonderful. I wish everybody thought the same, you know, believe the same.
Well, that's my saving grace, I guess. God's been good to me.
Yep.
But, you know, it's not just people who have had pregnancies. It's people who have had abortions. I mean, if somebody has had an abortion, people think that you don't care, or you don't care about your child, or you don't care about life, or you're insensitive, or you're selfish. Well, you know what? I had an abortion. There's different circumstances. It wasn't by choice. It's not something I wanted to do. But it doesn't mean that I didn't care. And it doesn't mean that I wasn't selfish. And I think the best thing we can do is just not have preconceptions about others and try to be understanding, because we're all human and we all have different circumstances and we all make mistakes and we're all forgiven and loved and cherished by God. So there's always hope and there's always new beginnings.
Oh, so let's just, now is the moment to ask Isabel, are you pregnant?
Stop it.
No.
Okay. That's our next misconception.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, good. So, next misconception. How about HIV and stigmas? Like, people always, well, maybe not anymore, but in the beginning, HIV was really looked badly, right?
Well, you can't get HIV from drinking from their cup or swimming in the pool. There's unnecessary fear that shouldn't be around, that's going around, that's unnecessary. And, you know, that's a lot of reasons why people don't tell people I've been abused in the past or I have HIV or anything like that, because they will be judged, they will be treated different. And that's very unfortunate, because we're very much very alike, very the same, believe it or not, regardless of what we've been through.
Right. Any takes on that, Isabella?
I think HIV awareness is extremely important, especially in my own community, where many, many people are sexually active, and that is something that you should not take lightly in terms of getting it.
So you shouldn't get it, basically.
I agree with Amy, but if for those who do have it, I absolutely would agree that they are looked down on,
yeah,
or judged in a way because, oh, they shouldn't have gotten it. Same way that the beginning of coronavirus, if you got it, you did something wrong. Whereas in that case, it would most likely be the fault of the person who gave it to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. Once you have a medical condition, you have a medical condition, and you shouldn't be discriminated against because of it. I mean, even drug addicts, let's say drug users, people with substance abuse, there's stigmas on those people too. Nobody wants to let someone know that they're a drug addict or they've been a drug addict. It makes it more difficult for them to get a job. It makes it difficult for people to trust them. It makes it difficult for people to believe in them. They tend to lose hope. What do you think, Isabella?
Isabella.
I'm talking to Isabella.
Oh.
The daughter. Because they're more likely to drink and go out to parties and stuff like that.
Okay.
Us, we X generations, were pretty much at home.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if, you know, that's not really something that people my age talk about, even though I'm fairly certain that many people my age are alcoholics or drug addicts.
Yeah, I mean, there's just all kinds of stigmas. And I mean, anything that you do, sometimes people will judge you just because you're doing it differently or they don't understand.
We would love to hear from you. Call us 1-866-34-TRUTH. Speak about your stigma or ask us a question. Stigma.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
And
so I don't undo
the God over you that it took so long to find. Cause all it would take is seeing your face and I'd forget. I should probably go to bed. I should probably turn off my phone. I should quit while I'm ahead. I should probably leave you alone. Cause I know in the morning I'll be calling, saying sorry for the things I said. So I should probably go to bed before I question my decision. Is it love? I know it isn't. Now I'm all up in my head again. Cause I know I don't have the self-control to walk away if you're walking.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi again, and thanks for tuning in. We're live Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, our app, The Cure, and on social media. Just look for God is the Cure, because He is.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast, audio and video podcast. Just search for The Cure, wherever podcasts are, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode, please.
Nice. You said it.
It's okay.
That song that just played was I Should Probably Go to Bed by Dan and Shay. There's never a got over you with God. Even though the road can be difficult and treacherous, sometimes taking too long to where there's only true peace to find, all it takes is imagining God's face and placing the enemy behind. There are things best left alone, and we should quit while we're ahead. If it's something that we'll be sorry for, if we question our decision, we should probably go to bed. Don't entertain those pesky thoughts and don't follow through if it lingers in your head. Armor yourself in daily prayer. Let God walk in instead. We gain control once we break that bind, the ones that prevent us from reaching our potential, loving to the fullest and serving others every color and every kind. It's a better state of mind. Today we're discussing some of the stigmas we're dealing with these days and how they affect us.
So who do you want me to put next?
Let's talk to Isabel.
There you are.
Isabel. That you've lived long enough to know about this. Is there still stigma about women not being as capable in a man's world?
Yes, I believe there is a stigma. I mean, it's a lot better than when I was in high school, for example. You see more women running for office. You see more women in the workforce. In the past, I believe that more men went to college. And by the way, I think that's another stigma. It's a huge stigma for young people, and I think very appropriate for Isabella, that if the kids don't go to college, then their life is going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at one point, about a year and a half ago, Isabella decided that she was going to quit college. And I freaked out because, of course, there was that stigma that, you know, it was going to be terrible. And to forget about men or women, Isabella was not going to be able to get a job if she didn't go to school.
She would not be worthy.
It turned out that year that she was away from school and working was the best year that she could ever had, because she decided, you know, what, you know, she realized I'm good at this and I'm good at this. And, you know, this is what I want to do with my life, where she didn't know what to study before. And so, you know, for Isabella, that turned out great. And I think that's also a message that is wrong message that we give our kids, that if they don't go to school, you know, their life is going to be terrible, where there are many, many different, they can be successful at many things. I mean, you can be the best.
How about if you're only considered, how about if you're only considered intelligent or responsible if you go to college, and you're a loser if you didn't? That's not true.
That's right.
See, I went to college and I'm not using it. Am I a nurse? No, I'm a radio host. See, God has a sense of humor. So it doesn't make a difference. It might be a good experience. It's a learning experience. At least it looked good in court with my custody battles.
So Well, thanks God you don't need to go to court now. Okay, how about stigmas about prisoners and convicts?
Yes, because people do change. People do turn their lives around. I'm proof. True. I was bad at one point, believe it or not.
Did you go to jail?
No.
Okay, so how about convicts?
A little bit.
Who do you want to speak about convicts with?
Let's speak to Isabel. I like young minds. Isabella. Young minds are interesting.
Isabella.
Isabella. Yeah.
So what do you think?
Stigmas about convicts. I'd say there's definitely some negative feedback there. However, I agree with you, Amy. I think any person in the world is capable of change in good ways and in bad ways, and sometimes it's the bad ways that land them the title of convict, but then they grow and they change and they learn and they do better. However, I do think that now in recent times we're finding that lots of people who are imprisoned are not necessarily, do not necessarily belong in prison, whether that's because they're mentally ill and what they need is
well, I can understand perfectly. I can understand perfectly what you're saying, because I don't think I should have been labeled a felon. Believe it or not, I was a felon, but in reality, I was a drug addict, but and that was my crime.
You're no longer a felon. Get expunged. So don't say it to open. Well, it's not a secret.
Not everybody can expunge, but my crime was being in pain, looking for ways to escape. That was my crime. So. Yep. I think, unfortunately, when people have the convict label or that they've been to jail or something like that, I mean, people don't realize that people can change. And that's why I truly believe in second chances.
Yeah, but also it goes to a certain extent. Like, I mean, the Boston bomber is supposed to be, he's okay to vote. I mean, come on. That goes a little bit too extreme, no? But yeah, obviously.
No comment.
Okay, next.
So, but there, and Isabella, this is a very, very good stigma because there's even a song about it. And I love this song, by the way, that it talks about how young people don't know much.
What song is this?
You didn't know about that stigma, Isabella? You didn't know about that stigma? That you guys
I know about the stigma. I think it's not one that's difficult to debunk. I don't think it has anything to do with age. I think it has to do with maybe ignorance or immaturity, let's say lack of experience. And I'm going to double down on immaturity, because which is another thing that goes well into your adult years if you let it. You see, I think there are lots of smart kids. I think they're inexperienced, maybe. And so, you know what I think it is that we know different.
Oh, I know the song. It's Young, Drunk, and Dumb.
No, that's a different song.
Oh, okay.
It's Young, Dumb, and Broke.
There we go, okay,
it's
sorry.
Young, Dumb, and Broke.
There you are, okay. No. Okay.
Must be a country song.
No. We're having so much fun with you guys. How about homeless people, okay? Homeless people, everybody looks at them like they're a monster. They don't want to talk to them. They think they're scary to know. I have a homeless brother. And he's close to God, and he's a normal person. Not all of them are crazy. What stigmas do you guys know about? What's your take when it comes to homeless people?
Well, I'd like to talk about that one, because I just came back from California, actually, from the Los Angeles area. And in that area, there are so many homeless people. And yeah. I mean, I grew up in Miami, too, and there's the homeless population there is insane. But in Los Angeles, I mean, we were, you know, walking on the street, wearing masks, of course. And it, a lot of them either were under the influence of something or And it was very clear to tell with some of them that they are mentally ill, that these people do not belong in the streets. And I think the stigmas that we have about homeless people are maybe they're dirty or drug addicts or they just...
Or they're beyond help.
Or they're not trying. Or they're beyond help.
They're beyond help, so people don't try. People just leave them there mm-hmm. instead of giving them therapy, making a home for homeless people that has psychological services and things like that. I mean, anybody can come about and come around. It's not unusual. And how about people with physical disabilities and divorced women or men? Are they looked at differently, Isabel?
Yeah. Isabel.
Yes, yes, I think that
divorced women, divorced men. Mm-hmm. Let's say if a woman's divorced, or if you're looking at a man that's divorced, there is stigmas with that too. People believe that if you weren't successful the first time around, you're not going to be successful the second time around. I wouldn't know. I've only been married once. 3 times to the same man.
We have only 1 minute left. Actually, half a minute left.
So tell us about divorced people in 1 minute or less.
Half a minute.
Yes. In my own family, there's 6 of us, and 2 of my brothers and sisters, 1 brother and 1 sister are divorced. And definitely there's a stigma there.
Actually, I need to interrupt you. I'm so sorry, but we're going to go to her break. Let's continue.
We have to cut it. Thank you, Isabel and Isabella, for being with us in The Cure. It was very interesting to hear your perspective.
Thanks for having us. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. And we're going to finish with a prayer, as we always do. Please stay with us. A prayer for confronting fear. Heavenly Father, when we feel crushed by our own worries, lift our minds and help us to see the truth. When fear grips us tight and we feel we cannot move, free our hearts and help us to take things one step at a time. When we can't express the turmoil inside, calm us with your quiet words of love. We choose to trust in you each day, each hour, each moment of our life. We know deep down that we are in your grace, forgiven, restored by your sacrifice. You have set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you also to our audio producer, Beth Ann, for being with us today, playing my songs and making this show sound good. Thanks to Robbie Dillmore of Kingdom Pursuit and the Christian Car Guy for his continuing leadership, guidance, and his love for others. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure.
Please check our podcast, The Cure with Amy Cabo, our app, The Cure, our website, GodIsTheCure.com. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode and rate it.
And thank you to our listeners for being with us and helping us reach 67 downloads of the podcast.
67,000.
67,000. Okay. You guys are amazing. Until next week, keep safe. Keep the faith. Don't lose hope. God is ever present.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.